Well, good evening, everybody. And I got to say hi to Monty and Val on the live stream and everybody else who I might be watching. We're happy you can join us. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I've been, the last couple months, as I've been reading, I've been trying to focus on seeing the glory of God in the Scriptures, and it has been very encouraging to me, and being blessing, just reading through different books and looking specifically for the glory of God and to recognize it. And in some senses, to find joy and purpose in recognizing the glory of God in the Scriptures and in the world around me. Just thinking of Isaiah 6, I want to, tonight, to build on the study that we had on Sunday night. I thought that was so good, going through the second half of Romans chapter 7, and how we were able to focus on the real depravity of the state of our flesh. And just getting some time to really process and understand how sinful our flesh actually is, and how evil we are, how lost we are without the grace of God. And I've been able to, and hopefully we'll be able to share the parallels that I think there are between Romans chapter 7 and between Isaiah 6 here. As we go through Isaiah chapter 6 tonight, I want to try to draw out the parallels between these two passages, and I hope to highlight the grace of God so that we can recognize the grace of God in our lives, and also want to highlight the glory of God. Those two things, the grace of God and the glory of God, is what I want to try to draw out tonight as we read. So let's just start in Isaiah chapter 6. This is the vision of the prophet Isaiah when he was commissioned by God and sent out to minister. This vision takes up the entire chapter, but we're only going to look at verses 1 to 7. Just try to really hone in on this first initial part of his vision here and this interaction. So Isaiah chapter 6, we'll read in at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." And so here Isaiah has a vision. He sees and is placed in the presence of a holy God and in the presence of his glory in the temple. And he sees these angelic beings flying above him and calling out in worship to God. And as they're calling out in worship, the temple starts to shake and fill with smoke, this really intense moment that Isaiah is placed in as he is presented with the glory of God and the presence of God. And his response to that is that he recognizes his own sin, and he recognizes how far he is from meeting and being able to be in any sort of, find himself in any sort, with any sort of worthiness, before God. And he says in verse 5, as he's presented with the glory of God, he says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And it just reminded me of what we were talking about Sunday night in Romans chapter 7. You don't need to turn there, I'll just read these quickly, but verse 18, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh." In verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" And I think that's so important for us to recognize just how sinful we actually are as people, how lost our flesh is, how evil our flesh is. And that needs to be in comparison to a holy God. That's the only way we will be able to recognize that. If I stand here and I compare myself with the people around me, I can find some reason to think that I'm worthy compared to other people. All of us can. But if I compare myself to a holy, holy, holy God, it says in this chapter, we are at absolute rock bottom of worthiness before God. Absolute rock bottom. Bailey and I have decided to, by the grace of God, hope to spend our lives in Mexico serving Him. And that comes with challenges, but there's one specific danger that comes with that in relation to this. And I'm so thankful for the study that I've been doing, going through the scriptures and trying to recognize the glory of God in scripture and see it. Because, like I said before, if I'm not comparing myself to a holy God and I'm looking at the person next to me, and if they're looking at me, we can find some worthiness in ourselves, some reason to want praise for what we're doing. And one of the dangers I find of being sent out by a church into missions work, which obviously you guys are doing in sending us, and we're very thankful for that. But one of the dangers is that my flesh, being so sinful, and what we've talked about, wants some credit for what we're doing. My flesh, being so unworthy and so unholy, wants some praise from the people around me, wants to take some glory from God. And I don't know, find satisfaction in that. Our flesh is so lost that we would want to take glory from God and give it to ourselves. I mean, that's one of the dangers that I find in my flesh right now, in my own life. But we've got to come back to and identify with, I think, with Isaiah in what is going on in this chapter, in that he finds himself in the presence of the glory of God, and there is where he's able to recognize how unholy he is and how unworthy he is. He says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And like we talked about, I think that's so important for us to understand just how unholy, how unworthy, how deserving we are of eternal punishment before a holy God. Because when we recognize the state that we're in, and we recognize the place of God, I think that's where repentance happens. And that's where we're able to actually recognize the grace of God in our lives. And the grace of God, by the grace of God, it is that He's willing to use me at all in doing anything. And the grace of God in my life for me to live the Christian life at all. That's what we were talking about at the end of Romans chapter 7 on Sunday night. And what does it say in, I think it's verse 25, Romans 7, 25. It says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The grace of God is then what we recognize when we see the difference between our state and between a holy God. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if we come back to Isaiah 6 here, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. As Isaiah recognizes his own sin before a holy God. And it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. It's the grace of God there when we recognize our sin before him. And by the grace of God, we're able to go and live the Christian life. And I think there's a parallel here with that too. In the rest of chapter 6 is when Isaiah is commissioned to go out after he's received the grace of God. Just very encouraging passage here. But now, as we recognize the holy God that we stand before, and our own sinfulness, and our own unworthiness, and then we're able to recognize the grace of God in our lives, now we're able to come back and seek out, in some sense, the glory of God for joy in our lives, and for a purpose in living. This is a paraphrase, but I heard a preacher once say there's no greater calling than to live for the glory of the living God. That we can find purpose in the glory of God and in God receiving glory from our lives and from the lives of people around us. And as I've been doing this study, that's what I've found. Is that I've been so blessed and found so much joy in seeing the glory of God in the scriptures and seeing the glory of God in the world around me. And it says in Isaiah 6, here in chapter 3, as the seraphim call out to each other and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And I just want to like focus on that just for a little bit here. The whole earth is full of his glory. As I've been doing this study, I've started to recognize how evident the glory of God is in the scripture. If you want to read somewhere to see the glory of God, I went to Revelation to read while I was going through my Bible school notes and was not thinking that I was going to be confronted with the glory of God so evidently in the book of Revelation. If you want to see the glory of God, go read the book of Revelation. It's so obvious. The whole point of it, the revealing of Jesus Christ. The whole earth is full of his glory as we look at the world around us. The problem, I think, is for myself, is just that I'm either too busy or too distracted, or I'm just not looking, and I miss it. The glory of God is all around us, and we just miss it all the time. And I do. This whole winter, I have been walking on snow and wiping it off of my car and shoveling these wet heaps into piles and mounds and not thinking about the glory of God in it at all. And then Sunday afternoon, we came home from church, and Bailey and I were just sitting on the couch talking, and it was snowing outside, those big like clumps of snowflakes coming down. And I was just looking outside and seeing the snow, and then a single flake came and stuck on, we have these glass doors at the back of our living room in our apartment, and a single snowflake came and just stuck on the glass. And if Mackenzie, I took a picture of it and gave it to Mackenzie to put it up on here. And I was talking to Bailey about this snowflake. It was probably only maybe 3 millimeters big. And in order for me to see it, I had to get so close to the glass, I was hurting my eyes trying to like see this thing clearly. But just so amazing how perfectly symmetrical and how just like tiny, and then looking out past it and seeing trillions, not seeing any snowflakes specifically other than this one, but just seeing, thinking of the trillions that are out there that I have not recognized at all. And Bailey, I started looking up snowflakes on Google, just seeing all the different things. And yeah, Bailey told me to stop because I was geeking out, which I was. But yeah, just seeing the glory of God in the world around us. And you just miss it all the time because we're not looking. I think God is not trying to hide his glory from us. He wants us to see it. There's like this example, this one snowflake I was able to see, but there's, like you said, trillions that we've all stepped on and we're just not looking. But God is not trying to hide his glory from us. He wants us to see his glory and to find joy in recognizing his glory in the world around us. And just one more example, and now forgive me for touching on a sensitive topic, I guess. But just a few days ago, there was a newborn baby girl in our assembly who seemingly had, her body seemingly had no ability to sustain life by itself, except for the direct hand of God working in her. And for 26 days, we all got to witness the power and the glory of God working in her body. And yeah, I pray that we don't miss it. It's all around us, and he wants us to see his glory. He wants us to see it. And he wants us to find a joy in it. And to recognize it, because it's all around us. Isaiah 6, chapter 3, says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And verse 5 says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In Romans chapter 7, it says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." In verse 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" And then verse 25, it's the conclusion that we finally got to on Sunday night, that we were all kind of waiting for. It's, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's the grace of God. And the glory of God is all around us, and he wants us to experience it. He wants us to see it. At the end of the study on Sunday night, Jesse read a quote from Norman Doughty from this book, The Green Letters. It's a book on principles of spiritual growth, if you want to read it. It's a good book. But anyway, I just thought this quote was so good. I wanted to read it again, just because I think it ties into what we're talking about tonight, too. So Norman Doughty writes, "If I am to be like him, then God in his grace must do it. And the sooner I come to recognize it, the sooner I will be delivered from any form of bondage. Throw down every endeavor and say, I cannot do it. The more I try, the further I get from his likeness. What shall I do? The Holy Spirit says, you cannot do it. Just withdraw. Come out of it. You have been in the arena. You have been endeavoring. You are a failure. Come out and sit down. As you sit there and behold him, look at him. Don't try to be like him, just look at him. Just be occupied with him. Forget about trying to be like him. Instead of letting that fill your mind, let him fill it. Just behold him. Look upon him through the word. Come to the word for one purpose, and that is to meet the Lord. Now to get your mind crammed, not to get your mind crammed full of things about the sacred word, but to come to it to meet the Lord. Make it to be a medium, not of biblical scholarship, but of fellowship with Christ. Behold the Lord." And we have an amazingly personal God who wants us to experience his grace and wants us to experience his glory. And yeah, it's so evident in Scripture, in our own lives, in the world around us. I think we've just got to be intentional about remembering to seek it out and to be encouraged by it and to find joy and purpose in it. So I hope that you guys have been just blessed and encouraged by this. I know I have been, just by his thoughts of the glory of God and of his grace in my own life. I've been encouraged, and I hope you guys have been too. So.